I guess you know that we are the tribe of those who are branded as legalists because we're always preaching the negative gospel. And they often say, well, we're always against things. Yes, we're always against things. We're always for things, too. But as Billy Sunday used to say, you can't love flowers unless you hate weeds. And we dig up the weeds while we fertilize and water the flowers. You know, it's an amazing thing to me, though. Nobody likes our ingredients, but everybody likes our product. Nobody likes the recipe, but everybody likes the cake. Young males, I'm not sure what they are, but they hate our church. They love to court our girls. They criticize me, but I see these shaggy-haired, scroungy-looking creatures coming in trying to get dates with our girls. I've often said from this pulpit that some of you girls bring in the scroungiest-looking creatures I ever saw in my life. We have a hound dog at our house. He brings in better-looking stuff than you do. And we got rats in our yard brought in by our dog that looked better than the rats some of you gals bring in here. I don't like that kind of preaching. Sorry about that. You just don't have any choice here. I mean, you just we just dish it out as it is. It's an amazing thing. They like our products. This morning in our service was a fine young man, seemingly a fine young man, who was just elected the Democratic candidate for city judge. He'll be taking the place, if he's elected, of Judge Ruskowski. And he waited around after the service, all the way till after baptism was over, just to shake my hand and talk to me and walk with me and talk with me from here over to my office. And he said, and I'm quoting, he said, that was a beautiful service. And he wasn't running for office. When he said that, he was sincere. He's a Catholic. But he said, that was a beautiful service. And then he said some things. You know, I got thinking about that. His predecessor, Judge Ruskowski, has always been favorable to our church. When, I think I told you this, a lady took her scroungy son up before Judge Ruskowski. He sentenced her to go home and spank him. And she said, oh, I wouldn't dare spank my son. He said, take him down to Hiles. He'll do it for you. And Hiles Walt Vineyard will. And this is the only man in America that's ever become famous all over the country because he holds a paddle in his hand. I got an article this week from the San Francisco Examiner. I mean, about a fourth of a page all across the top. The San Francisco Examiner. That same dirty article in it that the Tribune put in about our church and Brother Vineyard. Call us what you want to call us, but they don't have to spend any money on salvaging the addicts off from our kids that go to our schools. Call us what you want to call us, but we're saving the government a heap of money on rehabilitating the drunkards. Call us what you want to call us, but we teach our folks to obey the law. And they never have had to call the police yet because our kids are starting a riot. I've started a few riots at the college and high school, but our kids haven't. And never had to call the police yet. Call us what you want to call us, but our kids haven't burned any buildings lately. Call us what you want to call us, but our kids are taught to work. Say what you want to say. Say what you want to say, but what society wants as a result is what we're having here at First Baptist Church. That's what they want. I mean, they'd like to have some ladies like we had, like sit on the front row here tonight, except they don't like the way they're made. See? I mean, they want to go against the Bible and turn out Bible people. You won't do that. No, there is no way in this world that you're going to turn out decent, law-abiding citizens without a re-emphasis of the word no. Just the plain old no. 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 Zedekiah was a real gentleman. He was a king. He was an autocratic king. He was a real gentleman. He was a good-natured, easy-going kind of a fellow. And King Zedekiah had an amazing respect for Jeremiah the prophet. He liked to visit him. Of course, he did not want it known that he visited this fundamental prophet. He would steal away occasionally, maybe put a beard on or something, and go talk to the prophet, and would gain inspiration from his visits with God's man. The day came, as always comes, when the princes sought permission to put Jeremiah the prophet in the dungeon, without any water, in the mire of the dungeon, and eventually hoping to kill him. Now, Zedekiah was an autocratic king and could have prevented such behavior and could have spared the life of Jeremiah and also could have spared Jeremiah from the discomfort of the dungeon. However, he was afraid to say no. "I respect him," he said, "but our text says that Zedekiah, the autocratic king, said, 'I have no power. I cannot do it.' And because he was afraid to say no, Jeremiah the prophet was placed into the dungeon and, as far as the princes were concerned, was going to await death. He couldn't say no. Every Christian in the world ought to practice saying no. I know when I was a teenager, I'd get in front of the mirror and practice it. I mean, I'd say, "No, no, 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 no." I'd practice it. And these folks that are talking about, "I don't believe in this negative Christianity." You don't believe in Christianity then. "I don't believe in all this, always against something." Well, read the prophets and see what their preaching was all about. See, the truth is, it's not negative Christianity you're against, it's Bible Christianity you're against. Don't misunderstand me. I believe in love and you know it. There's not a pulpit in this nation that rings forth the message of love any more than this pulpit here. Not a one. There's not a place in this world where a sinner will find more compassion than you'll find here. But there's a wicked philosophy going around the country that you have to choose between preaching judgment and love. The honest truth is you can't preach judgment. I have love unless you preach judgment. Nowhere in the world. The wrath of God is based on the justice of God, and the love of God brings forth the justice of God. And so we've got to learn to say no. Now, all of Zedekiah's tribe is not dead yet. They're in all of our churches. These folks that had not had the courage to say no clutter up our church boards. Need some help back in the back? Trying to look for somebody back in the back? All right. There's somebody, I think, trying to peep in and see what they need. These people that are afraid to say no, they clutter up our church board. Let me say this, and make it very plain. If you're a deacon in First Baptist Church Hammond, and you're going to sip your cocktails, and if you're going to go to your movies, and go to your nightclubs, and go to your country clubs, and smoke your cigarettes, then you just turn your resignation into the deacon board before you leave tonight. And by the way, you say, "Hey, you're trying to run the church." No, all of our deacons feel that way too. And if they don't, they're on the wrong board. And if we find out about it, they won't be on the board, and I've got men that'll stand behind me when I say that. I mean, the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, as long as I'm pastor, is going to have deacons on the board who know how to say no to the liquor bottle, and no to dirty jokes, and no to the playboy philosophy, and no to sin and the temptations of this sin-cursed world. This tribe fills pulpits all over America. They're putty to be molded at will. They want to sneak into heaven by the back door. They want to worship God and Baal at the same time. They want to be on both sides. They never want to stand alone. They're thermometers and not thermostats. They're easily led away as prey of wolves in sheep's clothing. They have no stamina or backbone. They're feathers in the wind, blown about by the breath even of a little child. They always float downstream. They join those who are at ease in Zion. They're neither hot nor cold. People often say, what? Some poor nut, God bless him. He has a reverend in front of his name. He said preaching is outlawed. He said it'll be outdated. He said that preaching is going out, and that before long, you'll just have about 3 services a year in the churches. Well, that's because he can't draw a crowd, that's all. I mean, who's going to come to hear that garbage? Well, you say, Brother Hiles, that's what people want. Why don't they come back on Sunday night then? He says, I don't like your preaching. Not near as much as I hate your living. If you hate my kind of negative preaching as much as I hate your pussyfooting, air tickling, back scratching, penny pinching, salt soaping, pink tin lemonade garbage, if you hate it that much, you'll vomit before this service is over. This country wasn't built by your type. It was ruined by your type. This country is built by Christians who said no, and young people who said no, and moms and dads who taught no. We got so many Zedekiahs in our pulpits now. Our country is going to the devil and the permissive society and the God is dead theology and the neo-orthodoxy and the new evangelicalism that's destroying this country. Their fraternity includes Samson, who could not say no to Delilah. It includes Lot, who could not say no to his own daughters. It includes Demas, who could not say no to the world. It includes Judas, who could not say no to money. It includes Balaam, who could not say no to popularity. It includes Solomon, who could not say no to pretty women. It includes John Mark, who could not say no to fear. It includes Esau, who could not say no to his own appetite. It includes Ahab, who could not say no to Jezebel. It includes Ananias and Sapphira, who could not say no to greed. And that's the crowd with which you're journeying tonight. I want God to keep us here at First Baptist Church with a group of young people who will always be able to say no. Always be able to say no. When they say tip the liquor bottle and tip the wine cup, I want you to say no. When they say how about a cigarette, I want you to say no. When they say to you, young ladies, put on pants and look like the heathen pant-wearing world, I want you to say no. When they say I want you to go mixed bathing, I don't mind mixed bathing as long as you wear a grandpa's overcoat. It's just mixed nudity I'm against, and when they talk about that, I want you to say no. Well, you still in the house, they'll think I'm a nut. I know, join the great crowd of nuts that's helped to change this world through the years, and dare to be different. Join, if you would, please. Joseph, who said no to Potiphar's wife, when she came and said, lie with me, he ran from her and left his own coat in her hands and fled. Learned to say no with Joseph. I say this so often, I want to say it again tonight. Every once in a while, I want to make this very clean, very clear. I want you young people, you young ladies here on the front, I want you to be so clean. I want you to learn to say no to the hand of wicked, lustful men. And by the way, you dirty-minded men, you keep your hands off our young ladies. You keep your filthy hands off of them. Somebody told me this week of some man in this church who made some kind of a dirty proposition to one of our teenage girls. You keep your hands off these girls. God's dear name, God pitied that kind of paganism and heathen talk. I want you girls to so live, or young ladies to so live, and say no to the hand of the temptress. Don't fella pulls over and parks on a dark road. You wearing high heels tonight? You girls got on high heels? Shoes? Take off your high heel. Give me that shoe, Brother Vineyard. Let me show you something. If a girl ought to wear high heel shoes or have one in her purse, and the first time some guy decides he wants to pull over a neck and pet you on some dark road somewhere, take it out of your purse and beat the fire out of his head. Hit him on the head. I mean, get your 50 megaton high heel shoe. Yeah, you got a lot of conviction. You better know it. We still believe in decency, bless God. And I want you young ladies, first time I ever preached the high heel shoe, I feel sort of. But I saw my mother one day take after a Catholic priest with a shoe like that. He tried to get me to play baseball one Sunday afternoon, and boy, I'm telling you what, he had to dodge the high heel. And when I was a kid, they used these things.
Not on me. I never had to have one hit on me, but... You like that, didn't you? You like it. Brother Vineyard's got scars all over him. But, Miss Colston, I wish you'd get some kind of powder and put it in your shoe. First time some guy pulls over side the road and says you're out of gas, get out and walk and hit him over the head with a high heel shoe. Hit him hard enough where he'll dream for a while. I want you young ladies to so live and so say no, where when you walk down that aisle and I stand up here on this platform and a young man walks out here and you walk down that aisle on the arm of your father and I ask you a question, who gives the bride away? I want you young ladies to be able to, when you step up and reach out and take the arm of the young man that God has given you, I want you to look at him and I want you to say, you're mine and you're the one God has chosen for me. And I saved myself and I kept myself for you. You say, well, you're old fashioned. Don't believe in all this. You got this premarital sex. I'm just as old fashioned as this book is. That's how old fashioned I am. I want you to live and say, look at him and say, I saved myself for you. And I want you young boys, when you walk out and you look down the aisle and see the prettiest thing you ever saw in your life coming down that aisle, I want you to extend your arm and I want you to be able to look at her and say, I didn't hobnob with every old gal in town and I didn't go out and park on Lover's Lane. I saved myself for you. I mean, that's the kind of young folks I want to turn out here. And I'm not dissatisfied. I'm not dissatisfied with conforming to the customs and heathen practices of this wicked old world. I still believe in decency. I still believe in saying no to wrong. I still believe in purity. I still believe in chastity. I still believe in honor. I still believe in young ladies or young ladies and young men who are clean young men. Somebody said to me last week out in New Jersey, you don't really think, do you? You don't really think that there are any pure young men left. I want to fight them. That's what I want to do. You ever know there's some pure young men. And you filthy-minded, vulgar young men who think it's big and manly to place your hands on the pure and chaste body of some young lady and take away that which is holy and decent. You're a dirty thief and robber and crook. That's what you are. Young ladies, you learn to say no. You get some high heels and you give them the short jab and the long jab and the uppercut jab and an over-the-head jab. Let them have it. I'm tired of this permissive society. I have on my desk right now, right? You sit in the house. You're the strangest preacher I ever heard. Where you been going to church? Our country is built on this kind of preaching. God give us the courage to swim upstream if we have to. There's not a young man in this world who doesn't want a clean, virgin bride. I mean the filthiest, vulgarest minded men that I met in the army. They settle down to get married. They want a clean young lady. Learn to say no. You see, these folks are afraid to say no at work. When dirty jokes are told, they'll laugh a little bit. So you're not willing to be, because you're not willing to be different. Brother, when they tell a dirty joke at work, you men, walk off. Just walk off. On my desk, I tried to tell you a while ago before my glasses got fogged up. On my desk over there, I have an article tonight. Came in the Chicago Sun-Times. Says that there's a movie been made in Copenhagen on the sex life of Jesus. Yeah, on the sex life of Jesus. And now they're trying to spread that kind of garbage all over the country. I'll be honest with you. If that thing ever came to Hammond, Indiana, I do not know whether I could help but burn down the movie house or not. I don't know. I just don't know. But that's where this permissive society has led us. It's where it's led us. Sure, there's some decent young men left. Sure, there's some pure young men left. Sure, there's some young men that have not ruined the lives of these precious young girls. Sure, there's some left. You see them in the youth groups. They start playing the rock music. And let me say this. Folks, these things where I'm different, I don't aim to change. I mean, you may as well just get it right now all settled. I have no intentions of changing. 28 years ago, I started preaching some things, and if you'll check my preaching, I believe tonight what I believed 28 years ago. And just because ladies start wearing pants don't mean that I'm going to quit preaching what I preached for 28 years. And just because everybody now wears it, that doesn't make any difference to me. It's a shame or disgrace when God's people have to copy the world's fashions to get along. And you see them at the youth. Groups, when the rock music is played. And they listen to it and acquiesce to that kind of filthy music. You see these Zedekiahs in parked cars on lovers' lanes. You see them at work as the girls dress like the world. You see them at company parties, not willing to take a stand and be different. You see them in barber's chairs, not willing to let the scissors touch their locks. You see them at home in the afternoon when this dirty television serials come on, watching these three-cornered outfits and these sexy programs. I mean, we've got a generation of fundamentalists who've just about forgotten how to say no. Just about forgotten how to say no. Did you know it's so seldom anymore that you find a group of people that know how to say no, that you know, that they look at us sort of peculiar-like. Remember that television program we had? And remember that guy that was on after us? I was sitting there watching that thing, and I said, boy, he's a scroungy-looking rascal. And then it all of a sudden dawned on me. I bet he's looking at me saying, he's a peculiar-looking guy. And the truth is, we're now the peculiar ones. See? But there's nothing that thrills me anymore than to drive down the street and see a fellow from the back and say, that's a First Baptist boy. Before I even see his face. Cindy and I are driving down the street, down Holman Avenue, and she said, that boy there is First Baptist. I said, what's his name? She said, I don't know, but he's from First Baptist. I said, how do you know? She said, look at his haircut. Sure enough, he turned around. He's from First Baptist. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You can tell them. You can tell them. You can watch these girls sit down here. I mean, they're First Baptist sitters. You can tell it. Watch them sit. I mean, nowadays, that's one reason why I'm against wearing slacks. Because of the way it allows a female to sit. And there are 10,000 other reasons, too, why I'm against them. And I wish y'all would keep on the amens. I'm always embarrassed when somebody comes to me and says they saw one of our Sunday school teachers over at Minuses or down at the supermarket wearing slacks. I'm embarrassed. And deacons' wives. Now, men, if your wife's going to dress that way, don't you run for deacon. Don't you run for deacon. And you'll find this crowd, they know not the courage of Joseph, who said no to Potiphar's wife. They know not the courage of the Hebrew children, who said no and were cast into the fiery furnace. They know not the courage of Daniel, who learned to say, no, I'll not eat the king's meat or drink the king's wine. They know not the courage of Vashti, who would not come and make an exhibition of her body. And may I just stop right here? It's beginning of summer. I think I'll just throw a fit right here. Right here. I wish we had a church full of Vashtis tonight who would say that I'm not going to exhibit my body in public. I'm going to wear decent clothing. But you say, it's summertime, and it's hot. It's just as hot for me as it is for you. Now, the honest, simple truth is, it's a tragic shame for men to walk down the streets and have to absolutely, almost cover their eyes, or wear blinds to keep from committing adultery in their minds because of heathen. I'm talking about First Baptist people. Lengthen your mini skirts and wear dresses instead of shorts and look modest instead of... And I think I'll just say a word about this, too. I'm a little concerned about some of our girls wearing sweaters too tight.
There's some of our finest girls tonight, Hammond Baptist High School girls, that ought to be kicked out of school. And I'm going to see to it you are, if you don't start wearing sweaters about four sizes bigger. He said, man alive. Yeah, man alive. It's a shame. I mean, you're no better than the heathen world when you display your bosom in a tight sweater. Not at all. And by the way, that'll cause men to lust more than tight-fitting slacks will cause men to lust. I am in the meanest mood I've been in I don't know how long. I want to throw... Give me that high-heel shoe again. One thing that honestly, I want to have a big Sunday school, and you know I do. And God knows we work awful hard to get crowds to come to hear the gospel and teach the Word of God to them. But, brother, more than I want to have the world's biggest Sunday school and biggest church, I want to have the world's cleanest and purest church. I mean, every time we lay a brick, I want that brick to have good martyr between it and the other bricks. And young, let me say this. Whatever the standards are at Hammond Baptist High School, God has at least that strict a standard for the summertime. And woe be you when you stand before God Almighty if you don't live with the standards of Hammond Baptist High School during the summertime. Now, I know what some of you ladies are saying right now, you females. You run your husband, you boss every man you ever see, and you just irritate the fire because you can't boss me. Well, just irritate. Bill Harvey told me about a comedy you saw one time on television. This guy came up and he's acting like he's Columbus, and he said to this gal, said, I'm Columbus. And she said, what do you want over here in America? He said, I want to discover America. She said, you can't discover America. He said, I can too. Watch me. Discover. I just want to irritate. Dress like Christian girls, and act like Christian girls, and walk like Christian girls, and wear your hair like Christian boys, and do it with pride. People say, well, you're First Baptist. Well, glory to God, amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I'm First Baptist. Look, if you're going to wear shorts this summer, do me a favor. If you remember this church, put a sign on you that says, I know better, and wear it wherever you go. I don't want this town to think I'm pastor, all you husbands go out here in shorts all summer long. If I don't like the word hussy, then don't ever use it. This crowd that can't say no, they take the shortcuts, which always get you into mud ankle deep. They have backbones of sugar, which sweetly melt. They're not half educated, for they haven't learned to say no yet. They're men who can face cannon's mouth and cannot say no to a cigarette. Men who have the courage to face the bullets of war and cannot say no to a bottle or a dirty magazine. Once a French king said to the potter, Bernard Palissy, he said, you must, go, he says, you must go to mass. And the poor potter, Bernard Palissy, said, that I never will. And the French king said, you see this finger? Bernard Palissy said, I'm not afraid. He said, I'm no king. I'm just a poor potter. But he said, I'll never let a king make me afraid. I read a story one time about a pastor in Hamburg, Germany, who was baptizing by immersion. I almost got it mixed up with the other one, baptizing by immersion. And one of the town leaders came and said, you can't baptize by immersion. It's against the law, by the way. And did you know it used to be against the law in America, too, in some states? And this head official of the city said, you can't baptize that way. And he said, I must.
And this official raised his finger and said, "See that finger? As long as it will move, I'll put you down for your baptizing." Whereupon this old pastor said, "Do you see the hand of God? As long as that great hand is with me, you cannot put me down. I 10,000 times rather be protected by the hand of God than be made afraid by the finger of some people." You know, one of the finest things about preaching like I do is you never have to try to remember what you said last time. Never do. And one of the finest things, forgive me for saying it, I don't mean to be, really sound like I'm being a little cocky, and I'm not. But one of the finest things about this is we just preach the same thing at the mayor's and the services. Judge Roskowski, who was chosen Democratic nominee for mayor. You know, he was here the morning in the Sunday school, and I spoke on the ERA. And so was one of the legislators from the State House. He said, "What did they get? They got what all the rest of us heathen had get." Same thing. Same thing exactly. I mean, listen, if it's wrong for me to drink, it's wrong for President Ford to drink. If it's wrong, I mean, if you need to live right, the mayor needs to live right. And if you need preaching, the judges need preaching. And the congressmen need preaching. You give me the kind of Christian to stand. You give me that judge in our church, Judge Clement. what kind of judge? Criminal court judge out in Crown Point, one of our good men, saved here in this church. Gets to his office early in the morning before anybody's ever there. For 30 minutes, gets his Bible out and reads his Bible right there in the court, in the courthouse, in the courtroom, reads his Bible. Ask God to give him wisdom and leadership, that he'll be the right kind of a judge for Jesus Christ through the day, and thanks God that he's saved. That's the kind of Christianity I'm talking about. You give me the kind of Christianity that Dr. Geragos has, one of our fine men, a soul winner, one of the leading heart surgeons in all the Midwest, every morning drives over to St. Catherine's Hospital and performs open heart surgery. Everybody on whom he operates, he goes to their room and tells them about Jesus Christ and tries to get them saved right there in the hospital. Every one of them. Everybody that has open heart surgery with the knife of Dr. Geragos always gets the gospel before he goes in for surgery. You give me the kind of doctor, people like Dennis Streeter, young surgeon in our church over in the Chicago hospitals, and has a ready witness for God and won't sell out and won't do that which is wrong. And bless God, he won't perform the illegal kind of operations that go against the Word of God. He used to be anti-Christ and pagan in America. And he says, "No, I won't do it. You give me that kind of doctor who will stand up and say, I'll live with my convictions and die with my convictions if needs be." Give me the kind of young people who walk alone if needs be, and the kind of folks at work. One of our young men came out the house today during the noon hour. Tom Vanander. He's in the Marines now. Stationed down south and brought me a big bag of Florida oranges. Isn't that something? Comes home on furlough and brings me a bag of Florida oranges. Don't forget that. Florida oranges. And thank God for all the people that bring me Florida oranges on vacation, because I love the juice from Florida oranges. And occasionally folks will go to Florida and bring you back some Florida oranges and so forth. And but he told me about winning souls in the Marines. And he told me that he got promoted to PFC, but he lost his stripe for soul winning. Praise the Lord. Boy, he's a colonel in heaven, I'll bet you. Yeah, that's the kind of people I like. Yeah, I know, but you said for the house, this is a new age. Yeah, I know, it's the age of sin and evil and heartbreak and dope and broken lives and ruined lives and murder and free sex and homosexuality becoming legal and all the rest of it. But there's a God in heaven who thunders out just like he always did against evil. God doesn't like sin any more than he used to. You give me people who take a stand for God, for right, and people that know how to say no. Here's Zedekiah, God's man, Jeremiah, about to be thrown in the dungeon.
down in the mire in the inner prison where he can find no water, no food. And Zedekiah holds in his hand the power to prevent it. Zedekiah is afraid to say no. 30 princes or so stand up before the king, and the king's afraid to say no. Thank God there's one man there. He's a colored man. He is a eunuch. His name is Ebed-Melech. He was an Ethiopian eunuch like the one of Acts chapter 8. He goes to the king and says, Your Highness, could I help the prophet Jeremiah? And Ebed-Melech goes and gathers what they call in the Bible some old cast clouts and rotten rags, the kind of things you'd use when the garments grow old or something, and you throw it in the rag pile and you clean it and keep it for dusting or waxing or something. You're shining the car. He takes those old cast clouts and rotten rags and he ties them together. He lets them down into the dungeon where Jeremiah the preacher is sinking in the mire. And this great servant who's faithful and who's willing to say no and stand up and be different, he says to Jeremiah, Jeremiah! Put these cast clouts and rotten rags under your arms. We're going to lift you out of the mire. And he sends down those cast clouts and rotten rags, and Jeremiah puts them through the holes in his arms and are under his arms. And the prophet of God is lifted out of the dungeon and made to be out of the mire and given food and drink because of a faithful man who's willing to be different. Thank God he can still use cast clouts and rotten rags. It was a cast clout and a rotten rag who killed Goliath, the least likely son of Jesse. It was a cast clout and a rotten rag who used the 300 men to put the Midianites to flight, a little Gideon. It was a cast clout and a rotten rag that threw down his baseball glove and spikes over here in the White Sox Park one night, went to the Pacific Garden Rescue Mission and got saved and brought America back to God, Billy Sunday. The honest, simple truth is God can still use cast clouts and rotten rags. If those rotten rags, let them call us what they want to call us. Fellow said one time, he said, not long ago, he said, that crowd at First Baptist, he said, they're a bunch of, those people down there are a bunch of, remnants. Poor fool didn't know he was prophesying. The Bible says we're God's people are a remnant. A lot of you folks know what remnants mean nowadays, but I know what they meant. Every time a shirt would wear out, Mama would take what was good of the shirt and cut off the good part and stick it in the old sewing machine. You pedal with your hand, stick it in the top sewing machine drawer. And just put those, just scraps, you call them scraps, Mother called them remnants. And she'd put them there. And she'd keep putting them there till all the drawers were filled with remnants. We didn't throw anything away around our house. Nothing at all. And after we got a lot of these old remnants, just scraps, that's all we are. I know that's all I am. I'm not any beautiful piece of satin or silk. I'm just an old remnant. But Mother'd pull those remnants out after a while, and she'd put up a big, what do you call those things you make quilts with? Huh? Frames, a quilting frame? It's the kind of thing that when you come home at night, you better remember it's up. Or you'll find out it's up. Every time Brother Fisk came home drunk, it hit his head in that frame, you know, there. But Mother put up that old frame, and it covered the whole living room. And I'd say, what you doing? Mother said, I'm quilting, son. It's quilting time. And she'd take all those old remnants out of the sewing machine drawer. And she'd take them and she'd cut them up in all different kinds of pieces. And she'd put them together. And then she'd make a quilt. Well, I never slept on a store-bought quilt. I never forget the first time I ever saw a blanket. I couldn't believe it. We kept remnants on top of us, that's all. And my mother would make a quilt. You know, you take all these little leftover remnants and you put them together. They can make a lot of people warm and do an awful lot of good. Yeah, we're just remnants, I know that. But as long as we're willing to be different and say no, the hand of God's going to be on this church. Listen, there are preachers all over Chicago cussing me right now after 20 people. There are preachers all over Chicago that are cussing this church to their 35 folks tonight. No, God blesses people that'll preach what they believe. God blesses folks who say no. That's one reason why the finest young people you'll find in the world come out of this church. You know why? They're taught to say no. They're taught to say no. Thank God. That young lady down at Hammond Baptist High School, Hammond High School, Hammond Tech, she wanted to go to Hammond Baptist, but she couldn't go to Hammond Baptist. One of our lovely young ladies here. And so she had to go to Hammond Tech, I think it was. And she wouldn't wear anything but skirts, knee-length skirts to school. And they laughed at her and made fun of her. And they ridiculed her. But she went on. Not to Hammond Baptist High School, but to Hammond Tech. Was it Hammond Tech? Was it? Hammond Tech. And she went on. And finally, after living the sweet... Now, she didn't rub it in their faces, and she wasn't unkind to them. She had a sweet Christian testimony, but always tried to do what was right. And she didn't participate in all the activities. She didn't go to the dances. And when time came to elect the homecoming queen, she had won the respect of those people so much, that beautiful Christian young girl from First Baptist Church. She was elected homecoming queen at Hammond Tech. And when it came time to crown her, instead of playing some kind of a song about crowning the queen, you know what they played at Hammond Tech when they placed the crown on the head of that Christian girl from First Baptist Church? They played Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. That's what they played. That's the kind of folks who made the First Baptist Church what it is. I recall playing at Hammond Tech. Oh, it's been now 10 years ago. They called me from Hammond Tech. A teacher, oh, she was mad. Oh, good night, she was mad. She said, we're having our spring musical, and it's on a Wednesday night. A bunch of young folks had come to me and said, Pastor, we're having a spring musical at Hammond Tech on Wednesday night. What do you think we ought to do? I said, go to prayer meeting. Sure, go to prayer meeting. And so they went back and told the teacher they couldn't take part in the spring musical. She called me. Oh, brother, I'm telling you what. She was in labor when she called. She called me. She said, I want to see you. I want to see you. And I said, what's the trouble? She said, we can't even have the spring musical. And I said, why? She said, because 3 of our 7 soloists are First Baptist kids and 2 of our 3 pianists are First Baptist kids. Well, they like our kids, don't they? They like the way we teach them to play the piano, don't they? Yeah. They like them to be the soloists, don't they? It's always the case, too. And so the principal called me, and I went down to see the principal. And he said, I won't call his name, but he said, the kids are going to have to come and be in the musical. Or he said that they'll get a poor grade. I said, no, they won't. No, they won't either. He said, yes, they will. I said, no, they won't. I said, not unless the Jews get poor grade for not being there during Hanukkah. He said, we're expecting 500 people at this musical. I said, we're expecting 800 at prayer meeting. It's been a long time ago. He said, this has been planned 6 months. I said, our prayer meeting has been planned 78 years. He said, well, we don't like your interference with our program. I said, I don't like your interference with mine either. Well, he said, there are 51 other Wednesday nights. I said, I know, but we believe in 52 a year. And he said, who's going to keep us from giving a bad grade to the students? I said, Supreme Court. He said, we haven't got the money or the time to go to the Supreme Court. And I said, I got the time and I'll raise the money. And I'd do it in a minute. I'd do it in a minute. Mike Green was over here the other day. By the way, our kids didn't go. And from that day on till we started our school, Hammond Tech never had a musical on Wednesday night anymore. Mike Green was over here the other night. What about, he's now a preacher himself. I was his pastor down in Garland, Texas. And Mike Green, a handsome boy and a talented boy, had Garland High School, 2,000 students. Mike was chosen for the lead part in the senior play. The lead part in the senior play. And as back when senior plays were decent. So the day before the senior play, Mike called me from high school and said, "Preacher, I'm in trouble." I said, "Why, Mike?" He said, "Because I found out today that the profits of the senior play are going to finance the junior-senior prom, the dance." And he said, "I told the teacher I couldn't be in the senior play." He said, "Tomorrow night it's the senior play, and I got the lead part." I cried and cried and cried and cried. I got the lead part. A lot of you folks, I haven't heard that kind of preaching in years. That's why I'm getting you caught up while you're here. I got the lead part in the senior play. He said, "The teacher wants to talk to you." I said, "Hello." She said, "I want to see you." I said, "I want to see you too." And I went up to the school. She said, "Why can't he be in the play?" I said, "Ask him." He said, "Because I'm not going to be in a play whose proceeds go to finance a senior dance." She said, "Well, you can't do this." And I said, "Ma'am, he just did. He just did." Boy, I like that kind of guy. I like a kind of guy, when he dies, he'll float upstream. Boy, I tell you, that's the kind of guy I like. I'm so sick and tired of these little sissy preachers and sissy Christians. We'll go to prayer meeting if there's nothing else to do. What they do? Huh? Had postponed senior play. I was up in Maryland preaching not long ago. Young man came to hear me preach. He's pastor up there in Maryland. Came to hear me preach. And Carmen Hartsfield. Carmen Hartsfield was a senior in Garland High. He was chosen president of the senior class. The senior class met to plan the Valentine dance. And Carmen Hartsfield and Eddie Oates got together, and the two of our boys, and Eddie was the treasurer of the class, and Carmen was the president of the class. They got together and had 1 hour to plan the Valentine dance. They testified during the whole hour what Jesus meant to them. And they had to call off the Valentine dance that year. It was a bad year for Garland High. Called off the Valentine dance. Everybody got mad. Carmen Hartsfield, he was a center on the football team, catcher on the baseball team, president of the senior class, but he stood for Jesus. At his graduation exercises, most popular boy in the senior class the first of the year, now hated by the whole senior class. Bobby Boyd, one of the football stars, came across, and everybody, they stood and cheered him. They'd done that for Carmen 4 months before. I was sitting up in the balcony, and time came for the name Carmen Hartsfield to give him his diploma. There's a bunch of buzzing, a few boos. Man, something got inside my pants, ants in my pants. And I jumped up in the balcony and said, "Yay! Yay!" And up in heaven, Elijah's doing the same thing. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were saying, "That's our kind of graduate. He's valedictorian this year." Daniel said, "I know how you feel." Yeah. But you said, "Now, I'd be in the minority." Yeah, God's folks have always been in the minority. Always have. I mean, if you don't want to be in the minority, you join the wrong religion. You got in the wrong line. You eating out of the wrong cup. You're in the wrong restaurant. I mean, you didn't ring the bell to get off the right corner. Unless you want to be in the minority. Oh, somebody said, the minority. Somebody else said, Noah was in the minority too. That is, before the flood. Some of you folks don't like this sermon. I'm just enjoying you're not liking it today. does me good to get some of you people come out here to slum it every once in a while, First Baptist Church, Hammond. Does me good to see you wiggle there, and I hope you wear the seat of your britches out while you're there. You pussyfooter, you compromiser, you don't want to be different. Read some of John Wesley's sermons. Read some bit of Sunday sermons. They'll make this seem like a Sunday school devotional. Now, what you do is you garnish the tombstones and whitewash the sepulchres of the old crowd, and yet you spit on the crowd that's like them this day. You give me people like Isaiah, who spoke to stiff-necked people, blood running down his face. Learned to say no. Methodist churches all over this neighborhood wouldn't have John Wesley even come inside the church and make an announcement if he came back today. Why? They've forgotten how to say no. He said, I don't believe in calling names of other churches. Then don't ever do it. John Wesley was kicked out of every pulpit in London. Read his biography sometime. Said, Sunday morning, June 3rd, a.m., priest in St. George's, asked never to return. P.M., priest in St. Jude's, can't go back there either. Sunday morning, June 10th, priest in St. John's, board met and said, don't ever come back. June 10th, Sunday evening, priest in St. James, kicked out. Sunday morning, June 17th, priest on the street. Policeman chased me off the street. Sunday night, June 17th, priest in the meadow. Farmer chased me out of the meadow. Praise the Lord. Sunday, June 24th, priest on the tombstone of my father. With blood running down his face, being stoned and cursed, using his father's tombstone for a pulpit. The old man of God kept saying no. He kept saying no. He had learned to say no. Zedekiah never learned it. Hope our people learn it, never forget it. No. Been saying no at school? You've been saying no at work? Huh? Listen. Some of you critics sitting right here tonight, sitting in judgment right now against this kind of preaching, but you would give your eye teeth to have a daughter like one of these girls that this kind of preaching produces. Because I believe you can have them without that kind of preaching. Show me some. Show me some. Some of you folks right now, sitting in the seat of the scornful, right this minute. And you'd give anything in the world to have a young son as decent and as industrious and as honorable and as straightforward and as clean as the kind of young men we have dozens of in this room tonight. You'd love to have it. You want the potato soup, but you're wanting potatoes in the soup. You want the product, but you don't want the recipe. This preaching is not foreign to Chicago. Mr. Moody used to do it. And unless you're going to do it, don't use his name. This kind of preaching is not foreign to Chicago. There was a day when John R. Rice preached it in Wheaton College, Moody Institute, and other institutes around this, and revival meetings in downtown Chicago. It's not foreign. It's just been a while, that's all. It's just been a while. But it's still a kind of preaching that saved this country and made it what she used to be. And the absence of it has made this country what it is tonight. Learn to say no. Young people, reckon you ought to hit the mourner's bench tonight and ask God to forgive you because you've forgotten how to say no. Men on the job, Reckon you ought to hit the mourner's bench tonight and ask God to forgive you because you've forgotten how to say no. Ladies at home, reckon you ought to hit the mourner's bench tonight and ask God to forgive you because you've forgotten how to say no. I'm going to close now. I'm not afraid of enemies ever destroying this church. Brother, if enemies could destroy this church, we wouldn't be having services tonight. There's one thing I'm afraid of. I'm afraid the day will come when we won't hate sin like we do tonight. And when we cease to take a stand solidly for right and against wrong, we lose our uniqueness. And that's the day when, and you've heard me say this before, that'll be the day when maybe I've gone on to heaven. These men here have gone on to be with the Lord. And then I can see it happen. Somebody will drive up out in the front in a taxi cab. My picture will be out here in the hallway with the other pastors who used to serve here. And somebody will say to one of the custodians, "Is this the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, where Dr. Jack Hiles used to pastor?" And they'll say, "Yes." And they'll say something like this, maybe. "Is it true? Is it true that one Sunday morning, years ago, 30,570 people came to Sunday school?" And the custodian, who may be a teenager here right now, and maybe up in years then with hair turning gray, sparkle will come in his eye and a quiver on his lip. He'll say, as his eyes had that faraway look, he'll say, "Yeah, that's true. I was there. I was there. 30,570. And then the tourist will say, "Is it true that that church used to have an average of 15,000 to 16,000 a Sunday?" And the old custodian will hold his shoulders straight, and he'll remember when he was a teenager, when Dr. Hiles was pastor there and these faithful, good men were with him. He'll say, "Yeah, I remember that. I remember that. Yeah, yeah, 15,000, 16,000. "How is it now?" the tourist will ask. Tear roll down the cheek of the old custodian. He'll say, "Well, we just rope off everything but the two center sections on the main floor." And the fellow will walk in this building, a tourist who's read about our church and about the ministry. He'll walk up and stand behind the pulpit, and I think some will say, "This is the pulpit where Dr. Howes used to preach Sunday morning and Sunday night." And I think some will bow and say, "Oh God, give me what they used to have there." God forbid it'll ever happen. I want every baby in the nursery over there tonight, resting in the nursery, weeping in the nursery now. I want them, when they become adults, to have a church exactly like we have right now here on this corner. Years ago, I'm going to close again now. Years ago, I was preaching over in Chicago, and I spent about 18 years ago. I was preaching in Chicago. I preached one night to a little handful of people in a big auditorium, seated 1,000 people, had a big balcony. Handful of people. Some of you folks have heard this. Dead as could be. I recall that night the Lord's Supper table was right down here, and I tried to get some attention. Nobody listened to me, so I stood on the Lord's Supper table and preached for a while. They look with disfavor on that. And he said, "Well, that's sacred." That's not any more sacred than your house where you smoke your cigarettes is. But anyway, handful of people, and when I got through preaching, I went down to shake hands with all the folks who enjoyed this sermon. So I Didn't like that. Right in the middle of my sermon. Dark building. I hate a dark building worse than anything in the world. A dark building. Way over here in the corner. I couldn't even see him. While I was preaching, all of a sudden I heard a fella. And dead as could be. But one little voice went, "Amen! Amen! 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 Amen!" Good night. I asked for some, but never asked for that much. And so I heard the voice. I didn't know who it was. I was standing at the altar, looking at all the dirty looks I was getting. Looked down, saw the top of the fellow's head. Looked down, his little Filipino fellow had a tape recorder in his hand. Smile on his face. He looked up and he said, "Amen! Amen! 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 Amen!" And I said, "Was that you?" He said, "That's me." I said, "Who are you?" He told me. And he began to cry. Tears streamed down his cheeks. Little Filipino fellow had his tape recorder in his hand. Didn't have little tape recorders like that then, big tape recorder like this. He told me a sad story. He said, "Reverend Hives," he said, "see the balcony?" He got a faraway look in his eye. He said, "That balcony used to be filled every Sunday morning. I've been custodian here," he said, "35 years. I think he said 35 years. "I've been custodian for many years." He said, "Every Sunday morning, we used to have it preached just like you preached it tonight." He said, "That balcony was filled." And tears began to stream down his face. And he said, "Reverend Hiles, nobody ever sits in that balcony anymore." And he said, "This building used to be packed Sunday morning and Sunday night." He said, "There was a day, Reverend, whenever Sunday morning and Sunday night, same thing you preached tonight came from this pulpit, and we had a house full of people then." He began to sob, and his chest began to throb like that, and his face trembled, and his hands trembled. Looked up at me, and he said, "Now then, we rope off most of it." And then he got a fiendish look in his eyes, and he said, "I got you on tape tonight." He said, "I know I'm a custodian here," but he said, "I'm not going to listen to my pastor anymore." He said, "Whenever I get the service started and get the building all ready, I'm going to tiptoe back in the back and I'm going to listen to this tape every Sunday morning, every Sunday night." And then he reached up and he hugged me around the shoulder. "Listen to me. If you have that, folks, you've got to say no. You've got to have a peculiar people that say no. I tell you why the big denominations are dying tonight, because they've forgotten how to say no. I tell you why there's not enough folks to go to church tonight on Sunday night in most of these churches. They've forgotten how to say no. Maybe it's never draw crowds. Perhaps never gets folks to come. Oh, but where there's a man of God who believes all of this blessed book and takes a stand and says what is right and what is wrong and says yes and says no, there'll always be people who want to come to this church for that. God forbid the story would ever be in our church like it is in that church in Chicago. I hope the day'll never come when these seats are not used upstairs. The truth is, you give us another year and we'll have to think about a building program somehow or other. God has a wonderful way of blessing, and I want our kids that way. I mean, as the darker the night gets, I want us to just stay right down the line like we've always been. As the enemies get greater and as the threats get more, I want us to stay right down the line like we've always been. I don't want to forget how to say no. I don't want to forget how to say no. For the Vineyard, we worked too hard to put this building up. I don't want it someday to be a museum piece. Go to Spurgeon's Tabernacle in London. Staff member came. We walked in. A staff member came. And I said, "What do you run now in Sunday school?" And she said, 150 in Sunday school. And I wept. And I said, "Wouldn't it be wonderful if God would give you another Spurgeon?" She said, "Spurgeon couldn't do it if you were alive now. This is a hard day in which to live." Yeah, Spurgeon could do. Yeah, he could. Just a museum. Go to Wesley Chapel. We were in London on our Holy Land trip, and it was raining one night, and I called the Wesley Chapel. I wanted to find out if we could go to church there. And I said, "Who's preaching there tonight?" And the fellow said something about it. We're having a, I forgot what they called it. Having a, No, not Vespers. Was it Vespers? Anyway, they're having something. They didn't call it preaching, because preaching is sort of a cheap word nowadays, you know. So they didn't call it preaching. And I said, is this a fundamental church? John Wesley's chapel now. Pastor, but John Wesley and Adam Clark one day. I said, it's fundamental. He said, fellow, what do you mean, fundamental? John Wesley's church. I said, I mean, he preached hellfire and damnation. He said, I do not think this is the...